Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Graham Parkin.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much for your very warm welcome to Jenny and myself this morning. And we feel very much at home. So it's lovely to be here in every way. And thank you, Pastor Paul, for your invitation as well. It's really, really good. In just a moment or so, when we settle or so, we're gonna pray. Wasn't that a fabulous video? Isn't that amazing? Fantastic. And I feel a kind of a warmth with what I believe God's breathed into my heart and with what we're going to share for the next hour and a half, is it?
Three
hours. I'm going to do so. I noticed there's no clock here, so I'll take my watch off, the most stupidest thing a preacher can ever do, but I'll take it off anyway. Great stuff. Okay, listen, having just sat down, Can I ask you to rise again? I'm just going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just want to worship you with all our hearts. Lord, you are our King and our Lord and our Saviour. Lord, you have broken through the darkness of our sin. You've saved us. You've made us new creations in Christ. Lord, you've given us a hope and a future, and it's beautiful. And Lord, thank you for that glorious video, Lord, all about heaven. Lord, thank you that we're on the way. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just bless you and praise you for, Lord, your hope that you place within our hearts, that, Lord, goes beyond what we see, what we perceive in this world, and that the nature of this world, and, Lord, go beyond that into heaven itself. And we praise you and bless you. And pray, Lord, that you would just fill us afresh. Lord, you know my heart this morning. I just want to be your servant. I just want to be filled with your Spirit afresh. I just want your Holy Spirit to touch all of us, Lord, here. And Lord, that you will bring to life your word, Lord, within each one of our hearts. Lord, we just love you. We draw close to you, Lord. We embrace you. Lord, we just thank you and bless you this morning. Come among us, Lord, as we share your word and as we share thought. And Lord, that we might leave this place having met with you, the risen, glorious, wonderful, all victorious Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, by your Spirit, come among us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Graham, having just let you on, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I don't usually do this, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
And I just thought it would be good to share this word within light of what everything's been happening this morning. It's just been handed to me. This word was given and written down just before the worship paused and when I then prayed for the children in Newtown. Especially interesting given the video we just shown as well. This all happened earlier though. I saw a hill in the bright sunlight filled with people praising Jesus who was seated in the center. I was on the outer edge and filled with peace and happiness. I felt a person standing next to me and I looked to see my friend Daisy, who I lost 2 years ago. I was overwhelmed with relief and love for her. I knew she was safe and peaceful and happy. She held my hand and we stood together praising God. Then I thought of the children who were shot and suddenly they were there in a long line holding my hand. They were whole, happy and peaceful. And they stood with me for a while and then ran to Jesus through the woods like the little children in the Bible. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Father, bless you. Thank you, Paul. You did right. Lord, we bless you and thank you for that vision. And pray, Lord, that your love and your comfort would just be round about everyone grieving over there right now. To the glory of your name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture in a moment, and if you can find it, it's John chapter 13. And I just felt for this morning that the breakthrough element from heaven to earth that we celebrate at Christmas time, that we enjoy, you know, Jesus coming as a little baby and there's a crib and everything. And I won't spend a lot of time on that because we don't have an awful lot of time in one way, but in a sense, the humility and the risk that God took in sending Jesus, I mean, to a place so vulnerable, to a situation so vulnerable, so delicate, so risky, really. And yet, God in his mercy and his love for us came that way. And if we're going to emulate God and allow his Spirit to just flow through us in the fullness of his power, I was in a house not too long ago, and some of the pipes had got clogged, and it was difficult to get the water through and stuff, you know. And what they had to do was actually replace the pipes and things and the conduits. But I want to be a kind of conduit that God can flow through powerfully, that goes through without inhibition, that doesn't have to, you know, wait for this to be cleared or that to be cleared or something else to be cleared, but that he can flow through us by the power of his Spirit. And I believe he's looking for people like that. And all that you've got to do in simplicity is say, Lord, have your way. Lord, I'm here in all my humanity and all the stuff that goes on round about. Lord, I just ditch it all for you because you are glorious. And Lord, you've enabled me to be born again. And that born again stuff, you know, is not so much just a theology or a point of thought or idea, but it's practical. That filling of your Spirit, Lord, is going to take me not only powerfully through this life, but onto heaven as well. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be glorious. Fantastic. So with that in mind, I just want to come then to something that I believe God has breathed into my heart and that I'm carrying at the moment, and I'm working it through. So just bear with me as we go. We're just going to read the first 17 verses of John chapter 13. And it was before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, now he showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter. "You should never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen. Praise the Lord. Just want to spend a couple of moments, literally a couple of moments, just on just redescribing what John in his mercy and love has described for us. And the whole of this section in John's Gospel is all about the upper room before Jesus was going to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and from the Garden of Gethsemane to be arrested and to be cruelly treated and then to die on the cross. So this is really, really significant stuff, really. And I noticed for the first two or three verses or so, there's kind of a preface. And what really startles me and inspires me is the care with which John takes to describe the place that Jesus has come from and is returning to. You'll notice there that the evening meal was being served, and all that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Hallelujah. So where he was going and what he was going to do was in the full knowledge of God and in the power of God too. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. They were subjective to him. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. He had paid such a price in coming away from the glory of heaven to come and to break through the sinfulness and the darkness of this world and the risk of being born as a baby and then to be hustled off quickly to Egypt for safety's sake, comes back again, goes through his teenage years and begins to preach and begins to minister. And it's quite obvious that this man is the Son of God, does miracles, raises people from the dead, opens blind eyes, creates health in people's lives and straightens limbs that are bent and disused and unable to be used. He is the Son of God. And he comes from God, and he's ministered, glorified God in his ministry, and is returning to God. And then as well as that, coming from God, returning to God. So he got up from the meal, verse 4. And he goes on to demonstrate something. I feel so powerful, so filled with the character and the mercy and the love and the heart of a God that we've been singing to this morning. And we've been glorifying this morning. Out of his mercy, he came from heaven and touched earth. Hallelujah. He broke through, and he broke through into your heart. Amen? Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Great. I'm just making sure you haven't died or anything. All right. Okay. And he has, he got up from the meal. And in demonstrating, as he got up from the meal, which is kind of unusual, really, in a sense that if anybody's going to wash the feet, then they do it as people came in. Not halfway through. So I think, just getting up from the meal, the disciples thinking, oh, what's he going to do next? And he goes up, and he goes over, and he picks up a bowl and some water in a jug. He pours the water into the jug. And then he picks up the jug, and he goes, and he takes his jacket off. That's my understanding. Takes his jacket off, and he comes to the disciples' feet, and he starts washing them, one by one, one by one. And he's demonstrating the mercy of God and the love of God, but not just that of itself, but how that is ministered. Do you know, one thing I really love about the move of God by His Spirit on the church right now, it's so beautiful. It means it's people loving each other. You know, it's actually people getting on with each other. Yes. Not, church isn't a bunch of individuals with their own particular place and, statement of faith and things like that. You know, I'll run along with them if they do what I want, of course, you know. Nah. Church is a place where we ditch all that humanity and all that stuff and all that rubbish. And all that stuff that is human-based and human ideology. And we just say, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to love you. For all that lies within us, you know. Oh, dear me. And there's plenty there that you're dealing with, Lord. We're certainly a project in development, aren't we? You know, Yet Jesus goes and he demonstrates that when he comes to us and inspires us, it's done with love. And with mercy and with a heart of love that sees beyond the human face, the human facade, the stuff that people see in the world round about us, sees beyond that and sees the real person. And then Jesus gets up to Peter. Peter says, not my feet, you know, oh, my feet. Lord, you know, and Peter's quite an interesting character, isn't he? I love Peter. He's always dropping himself in it, isn't he? You know, and he says, not my feet. And then Jesus says, but if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I cleanse you, unless I minister to you, unless I just cleanse your heart, cleanse your life, minister deeply into your heart, then you have no part with me, really. And Peter says, jumps in again. Well, okay, not my hands and my head as well. Let's go the whole hog, you know. And then I can admire Peter's enthusiasm. But at the same time, really, he's trying to tell Jesus what to do. You know, okay, yes, you can bless me, but you've got to bless me this way.
I want just not my feet, but I want my hands and my head, and I want it. And Jesus says, oh, I can feel a sigh, almost. It's not in Scripture, but I just feel that, really. And Jesus not only then goes through that little bit of rapport with Peter, and then he returns and says, you haven't got it, have you? You haven't got it yet, but you will. You will. You will. I wonder if he was looking forward to the time when he ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit and said, now you're going to understand. Now you're going to see it. Now you're going to move on to a place where you want me. I want you to be, and you'll be able to see as I see. My one prayer. I've got lots of prayers, I suppose, really. But one of my special prayers is that I just want to see as Jesus sees. I just want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear as Jesus hears. And I know sometimes I mess it up, and I've got so many things, you know, this retirement stuff, by the way, all this plenty of time that you're supposed to have, don't believe it. It's not true. Because suddenly God has taken us from an immediate pastoral role and released us into something of a translocal kind of thing. And it's lovely. We're enjoying ourselves. I'm speaking for Jenny. I can't see Jenny's face, actually, because it's the lights. We're just enjoying ourselves. It's fantastic. You know, we've been to some exotic places, you know, like Sunderland. And even more, Malton. Oh, I tell you, fantastic. But isn't it great just to be used of God? And Jesus is saying here, you shall, you know, not wash my feet. And then he says there here in verse 12, you do not understand what I've done for you. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I don't think he meant menial tasks alone. I know it's great. Great. I mean, we're doing a special project, aren't we? Do you know about our special project of community angels? Oh, it's exciting. It's getting very exciting. It really is. And the idea is to plant some ministry into the Castle Ward area. And perhaps you come from the Castle Ward area, or you know people that come from the Castle Ward area. But we want to just link and to be a signposting sort of thing. I don't know how it's going to work out exactly, but we're working on all sorts of stuff that will create that as an entity and not be just another project, but really signpost people. But it will be the church that's doing it. The church that's doing it. Church, I believe, is being raised up in these last days, amen, to be the church that Jesus wanted, hallelujah, and that he died for, to create, hallelujah, that will influence society, that will touch society, will touch the heart of society, bring healing to society. And I don't know about you, but my heart is for homes and families and single folks and small children, hallelujah, and great for all that God has done over the years, fantastic, especially the last 23 years, but it's been fantastic. Fantastic, really, in lots of ways, but the best is yet to come. Do you believe that? The best is yet to come. And I'll tell you something, KFC is right at the very centre of it here. You are in a strategic place. I know when we had that special service of opening, you know, and I got a little bit carried away praying. I must apologise. But honestly, I believe God has birthed you guys here for a specific purpose. And it's strategic, it's geographic, it's in the power of his Spirit, it's in the anointing and working out of what you do, hallelujah. And it's not just in building another church, it's in creating and ministering a powerful ministry for this day, this now situation here today, now in Scarborough, hallelujah, that will change this area, hallelujah, amen, amen. Wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be fantastic if we were just like North Wales in 1905? Eh? Eh? When the magistrates had to put white gloves on because there was no cases to try. No one was burgling houses. All right, and you know, they had to close all the pubs because no one was using them anymore. Everybody was filled. All the churches were filled. Hallelujah. People queuing outside church. Wouldn't it be fantastic if people queued outside on a Sunday morning? Eh? Praise the Lord. That'd be good, wouldn't it? What an impact. What an impact on the community. Hallelujah. Fantastic. You see, God's got a purpose and a plan. And I believe that now situation is upon us in power and victory by the anointing of the Spirit of God. And he is calling us. And I'm just so much aware that not only then it was Jesus modeling something for the disciples, I believe he was giving a kind of a visual aid to those that would read it like us as to how he ministers in the fullness and the freedom of his Spirit. I just want to draw very, very quick attention. Are we all right, Paul? How are we doing? All right, sorry. He wants his lunch, you see. It's good. See, Jesus said, was quoted as commenting on this time, on this particular time, in Luke's Gospel. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, particularly we see elements of the upper room with what we call communion and stuff like that. But there's no reference of that here, nothing at all. And we see here Jesus simply taking off his outer garment, washing the disciples' feet, doing stuff. No miracle, in a way. And yet Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 27, he said, I am here, I'm among you as one who serves. Can you say that with me? I am among you as one who serves. Do that again. I am among you as one who serves. And I believe that heart is contained in John chapter 13. That heart that breaks through, that heart that led Jesus to get up. The getting up bit. He got up from a place that he was honourably occupying. It was a place where the rabbi would sit around. I mean, it wasn't an unusual thing in those days to have 12 disciples that you followed. And you followed them for 3 years, and that was the kind of thing that everybody, you know, people did in those days. So that wasn't unusual in a way. But it was unusual for the rabbi to get up halfway through the meal. And he got up. And there was a place then of him moving geographically, only a bit, from where he was. And I know, I just feel a conviction that if we're going to be channels of the Spirit of God, channels of God's glory, channels of his fullness, there needs to be a preparedness to get up, to move. To get up and move. There's a little bit of effort involved in that, a little bit of determination involved in that, a little bit of saying, right, I'm going to grip this, I'm going to grip it, I'm going to go for it, you know. I mean, let's face it, you wouldn't have made this beautiful place what it is without getting up in the morning, getting hold of a paintbrush, and of all the other stuff that you did to make it what it is. Hallelujah. But can I be so... Don't let it stop there. You've got a lovely building. You've got a brilliant facility. Fantastic. What a gracious gift of God to the town of Scarborough, to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Don't say, oh, we've got a great building. You know, it's wonderful. But go and fill it. Fill it. Get out and move to fill. I must be very careful, otherwise the PA man will be shouting at me for raising my voice. I don't want to do that. But to fill it, to get up. Nothing much happens in this world unless you actually pick up from where you are and move your location. Brian got moved by God. Brian, yeah, yeah. And forgive my brain. Shona, thank you. Jenny has to remind me of people's names all the time. All right, no disrespect. Brian and Sharon were moved by God from sunny Perth down here. Yes. And what happens? Street angels are born. Paul's vision, Brian's vision, come together. Poof. Wow, what a great thing. Praise the Lord. So expect an explosion. Expect something to happen. Expect something to move. When you get up from wherever you are and move to a place in God's anointing and power, hallelujah, he will do something powerful in your life. One thing I want you to really sort of pick up from my heart here is that moving isn't just something, oh, I think I'll, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, everyday stuff isn't good, right? I mean, you've got to get up in the morning, haven't you? You know, you've got to throw back the duvet and jump out with a happy smile and saying, Lord, it's another day. Amen. Yeah? Yeah? People are shaking their heads. I don't understand this. You know, the mundane, normal, everyday, you know, great, that's got its place, and that is serving the Lord. But every so often, the Lord will break through and give you, either through the preached word or through a prophetic word, or something will happen, and you're thinking, that's me. Yeah? That's me. You're speaking to me, Lord. So, be prepared to get up. Second thing he did, he took off his outer garment, took off his jacket, my translation. And he set himself to work. He opened his eyes and looked around and went to one dirty foot. And then another dirty foot. Because people just wore sandals, I guess, in those days. And they would have a bath, they would be cleansed. But then in walking from one place to another, then, you know, you could get your feet dirty. We've just celebrated, Jenny and I, 45 years of marriage. And that as well, combined with 23 years in Scarborough and 41 years in the ministry, we thought we'd have a holiday. We haven't had much of a holiday, you know what I mean? Because our holidays often go and visit the children or go and do whatever, you know. But so we'd have something to ourselves. And everybody was very gracious to us and very, very generous as well, to say the least. And so we went on a cruise. Amazing. Yeah, and one of the places we went to was Pisa. Another place was Rome. But another place was Pompeii. Fantastic. Anybody been to Pompeii? One or two? Oh, good. Nice. And Pompeii, the curbs are about as big as this. Very high curbs. But what they do, if that was a curb, there'd be another curb over here where Pastor Paul is, roughly. And there'd be great big granite slabs in the middle so you could step from one to the other to the other. Why? Actually, they were the early edition of speed bumps. 2,000 years ago. How about that? Right, seriously. And we went to one house as well, and there was a lovely house there, and you go through this little entrance area, and you open up, and there was some, it was always mosaic on the end there, and there was one of an image of a dog who said, beware of the dog. I thought, well, how up to date is that? You know, fantastic. But one point I'm saying, coming to is this. But to walk on the street, all the muck and the rubbish. And Jesus wanted to come to people living in today's world. And today's world is mucky. It really is mucky. And it seems to get muckier. I think the older I get, muckier it feels to me, you know, round about. But it is. And yet Jesus came to, and then not only cleanse their feet, but there's a message here of loving them enough. Not just overcoming their embarrassment of him cleansing their foot and feet, but to prepare them to set up a new way of living, to begin to put hope where there is no hope. Oh, you know, our prayers this morning for that town in the US, I mean, it's just, as Paul said, what words can you use? But oh, don't they need the Lord? Amen. But he took off his outer garment, and in taking off his outer garment, he was prepared for work. He was prepared to serve. He was prepared to give. He was prepared to get his hands dirty. He was prepared to do something that actually no one else had done. And he could have said, well, I'll just wait for somebody else. I'll wait for Fred or Harry or, you know, I know there's not a Fred or a Harry in the scripture. If I just mentioned that, you know. But wait, and we could do that, couldn't we? We could say, well, you know, in a church our size, I think when we do something on the open air or outside and we're going talking to people, oh, yeah, he can do that. You know, Mike's good at that. You know, that's pretty good. You know, and other people, you know, can do that. But no. Maybe God is calling you. And it's scary. Stand up in the street, give your testimony, or go up to somebody you've never met before. Do you know, sometimes, years and years ago, we had some volunteers working in our church office, And one lady decided that she's with the Lord now, actually, but she didn't like working in the office anymore. Why is that? Well, the phone goes. Yes. Yes, the phone goes. But she said, anybody could be on the end of it, couldn't they? Yes. Well, I don't like talking to anybody. And we've got to get over that. Got to get over that. Got to get over that. Just lose the inhibitions. Lose the stuff that we can kind of amass to ourselves that sort of builds a brick wall around us, you know, and say, I'll look over the ramparts at you, but don't expect me to talk to you, you know. Oh, I tell you. Jesus took off his outer garment. And then Jesus picked up the tools. I wonder if he arranged for the bowl to be there and the jug to be there with the water in it. Do you think he might have done? I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but whatever it is, he was there. And what he did was not only then get up and take off his outer garment, take off his jacket, he picked up the tools that were already there. I remember Moses coming before the Lord. Well, I don't actually remember because I wasn't actually there. Although, actually, you might think I was. Moses, when Moses and God were having a little bit of a chat about things, you know, and Moses was saying, can't do it, can't be done, don't use me, use him, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And God said, what's that in your hand? Oh, it's a staff. Right, okay. And God demonstrated, we haven't got time to go into it, but God demonstrated his power and his glory and his miraculous power, hallelujah, in those days, yeah, and that released the nation. It released the nation. Amen. What's in your hand? Oh, right, yes. So the question is, I suppose, what's available to you? You might be a whisker at something. There might be something in your life already, some instrument, something that is there that God can use for his glory. It might be just an open, willing heart that says, I'm willing to visit people. I'm willing to just touch people's hearts for you and to love people. Glorious. Final point. Jesus overcame the embarrassment of those he was serving. Do you remember? I was years ago. We went to Bible College in Birmingham, and we were seconded to a church for a year with a fellow called John. I can't remember his name. Baptist pastor, John Bedford, and he was in the. Do you remember him at all? John Bedford. He was part of the Fountain Trust. So we were seconded to his church. We went in, and everything was fine, and we had a little mob of students. We went into there, and we're your area outreach team for a year. So this is what we're doing. And then everybody got in there. It was a lovely time of worship like we had today. Brilliant. And then, scary of all scaries, people got up and not just had the peace and a smile and a happy hand. They hugged each other. Well, I tell you, that for me was hug me if you dare, you know. I think I'll just pop out to the gents, you know, whatever. But I had to overcome that and just let people's hearts touch my heart, and just let the Holy Spirit just use and touch and bring together, because the Holy Spirit is brilliant at bringing people together. Have you noticed? He's really good at that. He can bring people together, and he can put things in the right context and useful context so that people can be used of him, used of God. And suddenly you realize that you're talking to somebody. I was at a little church thingy yesterday, and I met, because I don't know if you realize, but I'm still the police chaplain for the area. Been so for the last 3 months, 3 years rather, and thank you very much. And then probably it'll go on for another 3 years or so as well. And just ran into two police sergeants. And just, it was just the right moment, the right way. They were separate to each other, you know, separate instance. But oh, I thought, yes, that's right. And then, you know, somebody else came along and I recognised them. They recognised me first. I'm shocking with names, as you know. And
when someone comes up to you and says, "Oh, hello, how are you, Graham? Are you all right?" "Yes." I said, "Yes, of course, fantastic." And Jenny says, "Who was that?" I said, "The foggiest idea." But I don't know if I ought to say this, but we were just chatting to folks yesterday and giving out some literature and stuff. And it was an invitation to a Christmas service. And this lovely couple came along, really nice couple. And they said, "Oh, no, thank you. We're Methodists." And I thought, oh, bless them, if they only knew who is now the minister of Scarborough Christian Fellowship. If they only knew. Lovely. Overcoming embarrassment. Do you know something? The power of the Holy Spirit overcomes embarrassment. He overcomes embarrassment. He goes through it and he creates opportunities to love and to bless and to bring change and to bring hope. Hallelujah. My thought is this, that can, if we take that beautiful picture of Jesus getting up, taking off his jacket, washing the disciples' feet, things like that, can serving Jesus today in contemporary society be anything less or anything different? See, the getting up, the taking off the jacket, the picking up the tools, the overcoming sense there seems to be wonderfully in line with what God is doing and what God has placed before us today. And I'm going to close now. But we're living in days of favour. We're living in days of God's favour when he does stuff far beyond our understanding and brings people and situations to bear and to development or connects people on, connects situations far beyond our ability. I just pray with all my heart that I see as he sees enough to see what he's doing. Sometimes these days I'm feeling that I'm running to keep up with him in some particular projects that we're working with. It's lovely, it's beautiful. God, will you help us to see your plan? Thinking of the Apostle Paul, he saw it, he got it, took him all over the then known world. Perhaps when you see it, you might find yourself in a place that you didn't anticipate. But it's exciting, it's beautiful, filled with the presence of God, filled with the answers to prayer, filled with all he wants to. I'm going to close. I don't know how you normally close your services in the morning, but I just want to make an appeal and then I hand back to Paul, if that's all right. Are you taking this seriously? Are you taking this seriously? The bit about getting up and moving. You might only have to move 10 yards. You might have to move 10 miles. But something here has to move. Are you taking that seriously? And then maybe taking off the old jacket, getting the hands dirty a bit. And then not only that, then picking up and recognising what God's given to you, into your life. And then washing and giving hope. Maybe God wants you to be a community angel. Maybe God wants you to be whatever. But that's the process. If you're taking that seriously, can I ask that we just pray together? And if that is real for you and you're saying, "Lord, I want to mark this day. I want to mark this day as a call from you to my heart to stand up, to move in my heart, to be prepared to be moved by you. And to, as I say, take the jacket off and wash the feet and so on." If that's you, can I just invite you to stand where you are? Not too scary. Jesus came all the way from glory to this earth for that day. And we've got a beautiful picture of the cross here, really. The humility Jesus ministered on the cross. Wasn't a glorious sermon with a massive response at the end of it, but he did it out of love and compassion and sacrifice. And it's the love and the compassion and the sacrifice bit
that needs to be part of our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning, I thank you for everyone who is standing before you now. Lord, I pray that you would recognize the authenticity of every heart before you now, saying, Lord, that everyone that's standing wants to get up from where they are, as it were, and to take off the jacket, to pick up the bowl, the water, the cleansing, and then to actually wash person to person. Lord Jesus, you came from heaven and you were one to one with us. Hallelujah. And you still are. Hallelujah. And we pray that by your Spirit, you will continue one to one by your Spirit, directing, encouraging, fulfilling, empowering, glorifying your name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, would you do this for the glory of your name? Lord, we hear your voice today. And we step forward in faith, believing and trusting in a new hope and power before you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.